Well, hello and welcome everybody to the TDC Connected meeting for April 29th, 2015. Today we're going to talk about at least two subjects that we have pre-planned, and then we'll have kind of an open forum towards the end. I've received several calls this year, just people asking me for trends, revenue trends from month to month and possibly even year to year. So I'm going to go over some of the trends. I ran the numbers from 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14. Then we have a little bit of data for 2015. Obviously, we're just a couple of 3 months in as far as having revenues reported, so I can comment on that as well. And then once we talk about that, we can move to Dave Reinhart, who's going to talk a little bit more about referrals and how he works his latest one and what the results are for him in the industry, getting referrals from people that are also involved in the dental offices in another capacity. Once again, guys, to join in the conversation, I'll just go through the instructions real quick. All the lines have been muted so we don't get that background noise. So what you'll need to do is simply hit *6. That'll unmute your line so you can comment and add to the conversation. And then once you're done with the comments or adding to the conversation to what you feel is necessary, just go ahead and hit *6 again. That'll remute your line and just *6, *6, *6 back and forth to join the group. So we'll just start with, I think it was Harvey Fox is the last one who asked me about trends, but I've received several other requests from folks asking about revenue trends. And typically what happens is, as you know, in probably any small business, I think Jay and I were just discussing this yesterday or the day before, it'd be great probably to expect just an equal revenue flow from month to month to month to month, year to year, other than maybe having it just grow slightly over that time, of course, but you want consistency. Unfortunately, in this business, and especially after I ran the data for you guys, that consistency isn't there. You'll have one strong month and kind of a weaker month and a couple strong months in a row, then it'll kind of flatline, then it'll go down, then it'll go up. So it was interesting for me to run those reports to see what the trends were and where you guys are from month to month. And so I'll go through that with you now. First of all, we'll start with January. As you guys know, January is typically a strong month after usually a little bit of a slow December. And I think that December is a little bit slow, not necessarily because you're not getting the repair that you expect to get. I think it's because dentist offices, as you know, shut down for at least the last week, maybe even the last 2 weeks of the year. So you're working with offices that are closed. So you may have a strong first couple of weeks, and it looks like a good month, but then, of course, it slows down towards the end as people get into that Christmas/holiday spirit. So January is always and has been a strong month, 2011, 2012, 2013, and even a little bit here, 2015, with always a dip. You guys asked about trends, so I'm going through those with you now. With the exception of 2010, and I don't know why this is, with the exception of 2010, February is always a down month. I know there's a couple less work days in the month, right, because it's a slightly shorter month by a couple of days, but the percentages weren't there to support that drop, like just a small two-day drop. It seemed to be more significant than that going from January to February, and then by and large, almost every franchise owner across the board for the last 5 years has had a March that was significantly an increase compared to their February, and in many cases as good or better than their January. So if we're looking at the first quarter of the year so far, guys, we're looking at everybody kind of having a strong January, a dip in February, and then a strong March. This is what's happened across the board with you guys moving forward from that. With the exception of 2013 was an outlier. 2013, April actually across the board for everybody was another strong and even a growing month. Like I said, with the exception of 2013, if we look at 2010, 11, 12, and even 2014, It either flatlined or dropped slightly from that strong, strong March. Then you have kind of a May, June, just flatline, 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14, just kind of flat. So you would have seen some consistency, guys, in your May and June. A slight drop in July, again, across the board. Every single year, 2010 through 2014, a small drop in July. I think I get those calls every year from you guys, so it's important for you to know and maybe even to expect. And I think it's because July is what? That's when all these offices are, you know, all these folks are taking their kids on vacation. They're going on vacations themselves. You guys are going on vacation. So July, for the last 5 years, has been a downward trend from April, May, and June, which are strong and or flat. So you would have seen a little bit of a drop, all of you probably, in the month of July over the last 5 years. It's consistent across the board every single year for not every franchise owner. Remember, this is an average. Obviously, we're taking all the franchise owner numbers and plugging them in, but we can look at it over the course of the whole year compared to the other 5 years. So it's a pretty solid number that July is a bit of a drop. Going into August, a sharp increase, in some cases a 20-plus percent increase in revenues in the month of August. That makes sense. Everybody's kind of getting back from their vacations. Docs are getting back into their offices. You guys are getting back into your offices, and a bunch of repairs there waiting for you. And then September, October, and November are pretty medium slash flat. You guys should see some consistency in your billing in September, October, and November. And then, as we discussed right off the bat, there is a decline in December, probably a 10% decline in December revenues from September, October, November. Obviously, because of that, got to be because of that last week of December, offices being closed. So you guys might actually get hit pretty good at the start of the month in December, the first couple, two and a half weeks of December, and then, of course, you know, zilch for that last week of December, probably for the most part for most of you guys. So I don't know if that was clear enough to you guys. I tried to explain that year by year, month by month for you. If you have any questions, go ahead and shoot. But like I said, you're looking at a strong, typically the strong months look to be January, March, a little bit in April, and then August. Kind of the flat months look to be May, June, September, October, November, and then the months that seem to dip, we're looking at March, July, and December. So if you've been worried about the trends and what you guys are noticing individually out there from month to month, year to year, you know, compare that with the numbers I just discussed with you, and you may be 100% on par with everybody else. And probably if we looked at folks with Hayes or, you know, some of the other dental repair companies, we might even see the same kind of declines and then increases and then kind of flat months with them as well. It may just be an industry thing, as you guys are pretty consistent, at least from year to year. You've shown some consistency there. So I'll open the floor now to any specific questions that you guys have. I'll assume if there's no questions, I did a fairly decent job of explaining what kind of went on with you guys over the last 5 years from 2010 to 2014 and the months there. And what I'll do is I'll shoot you guys out an email just kind of confirming what we just spoke about, so you guys will have something to look at, and maybe later on, maybe in the day or in the week, if you have time, to just kind of bring up your own numbers and see if you're on par with everybody else on that and maybe the industry as a whole. It'll sit a little bit better with you when, you know, you're having a little bit of a slow April. Now, I don't have any April numbers from you guys yet, but if I were to base April this month off of what happened with you guys over the last 5 years and probably in the industry as a whole, you will see a little bit of a decline in April versus your March numbers. So don't be alarmed by that. And then May bounces back up and kind of flattens out through all of May and all of June with some decline in July because of that summer issue we talked about, and then another spike in August. So anyway, hopefully I did an okay job of explaining that. It was interesting to throw all the numbers in there and see what the trend actually was. I know we've talked about trends in the past with all of you guys, and we know that there are trends, but to actually plug them in and look at them was interesting for me and hopefully interesting for you guys as well. All right, well, we didn't take any questions there, which is fine. It was kind of a little informative section of our meeting. But now I guess we'll just open the floor to Dave Reinhart. I think it was, I can't remember who asked me about it, and I apologize for that, but I've had a couple of questions about referrals, and then I was talking to Dave yesterday, and he was mentioning a new referral guy that he's working with and how that's been a big positive for him. So, Dave, are you there?
Yeah, Dave, I'm here.
Okay, can you tell us a little bit about how you got the referral going with this guy, what precautions you took in working with this guy, and how it's helped you and him too, probably?
Yeah. I apologize. I was going to put together an outline here, but I've been more focused on the numbers resulting from this. But in any case, I started talking with some of my customers from time to time about who they use for repairs to their office equipment, such as the chairs, the suction pumps, the compressors, and I think I started that because a number of my customers asked me for referrals, and, you know, when I first got started, I didn't have anyone to refer them to, so I just started engaging some of the dentists to find out who they were using, and over a little while, I started to see a pattern of, you know, who the folks were really interested in, who they felt strongly about in terms of the quality of their service. And I was looking for some people who were kind of in the same kind of business we are, and that is where there's a personal relationship with the customers. We're not a large company. Several of my customers expressed displeasure in using some of the larger companies because they said things like, you know, it's always a different guy who shows up. There's no continuity. They don't know our equipment, et cetera, et cetera. So I kind of had a list in my head of people who I would like to connect with. And in the case of one of them, I happened to run into him when I was in an orthodontist office. And I kind of went out of my way to introduce myself. We went out in the parking lot and had a chat. We exchanged business cards. And it was a very positive experience. So What slowly started happening is I started referring him to my customers when they expressed an interest in, you know, who I might know, and he started doing the same. And, you know, over time, I guess the pace of this has been increasing, and I have been able to pick up several customers simply from these referrals. In some cases, I had been to the offices before and made presentations. In some cases, I had not. But it's been a pretty positive experience for me and for him, or I should say them, in that they get new customers as well as me getting new customers. Early on in my relationship, I'll use his name, Dan, he sent me a couple of hand pieces for estimate, and he told me that he was going to tack on 40% and bill his customer. So I gave Dan an estimate at retail price. I didn't quote any wholesale prices, and as it turns out, the customer did not accept the proposal. So I simply shipped the stuff back to the customer directly at Dan's request. Since then, Dan has not been looking to be the middleman. He has simply given out my name to customers or called me from a customer's office and asked me to ship him one of my mailing boxes. Or what happened last week is five handpieces showed up at my door directly from Dan, and he had no interest in being involved in the middle. So the relationship that we have now is what I think of as a mutual referral relationship. Kind of going in the other direction, I called him when I was preparing to go to one of these continuing education seminars, and I asked him to ship me business cards and any brochures he had, you know, telling him that I would have the opportunity to meet a dentist at these continuing education seminars, and I would be happy to hand out his business cards there. And I did that with another guy as well. So it's turned out to be a pretty positive experience. I just happened to go through some of my my numbers here, and I can tell you that since about November of last year, he has referred me, that I know of, to seven customers. I've picked up five of those as new customers, and since November of last year, I have billed those five customers a total of $2,350. So, oh, and by the way, he called me up one time and said, you know, ship me 100 of your flyers, and I found out from our discussion last week that he has been including my flyers whenever he sends out invoices to customers. So it's free advertising from, you know, from this guy. So the pace of this has been increasing, and I mentioned it to Dave because I've been pretty happy with it. Not in the numbers that I just gave you is the fact that with one of these customers, I have three slow speeds out for estimate at the moment, and I'm working on a high speed for another one. So there's, you know, there's more to come from this, and I'm sure there will be more referrals. There is another person I've been working with, and I've gotten four customers from four referrals from that person, and I don't have the revenue numbers quite yet. I was actually working on them, but they're in the same total range as for Dan, the person I just referred you, that I just mentioned earlier. So again, I mean, to get to Dave's point, one of the things that I thought was important was to make sure that, you know, these people were reputable, that customers were happy with them, because I didn't want to refer just anyone. In the case of both of these guys, I know that that's the case. So I'll stop there.
Okay, we'll definitely open the floor to questions. Obviously, that's awesome to get seven new customers. That, you know, on average, you look at $1,000+ per year per customer, so I had seven customers since, you were talking about seven and then five, but
there were seven referrals and five customers from one person, and then I got four customers from four referrals from the other guy. So I've actually got nine new customers.
Nine new customers from this one group of Dan and the other guy.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, as I've been doing these numbers and thinking about it, I really haven't been really working this very aggressively. And what I could do is I could start engaging my customers when I'm in their offices and more proactively referring these guys. And by the way, typically what I'll do is I'll shoot them an email at the end of the day whenever I do refer them to someone so they have a heads up. So anyway.
So how many, have they told you how many customers they've gained because of your referrals? Is it similar, do you think?
In the case of Dan, I would say it probably is. The other person, I'm not so sure. He doesn't talk as much as Dan.
Okay.
So I don't know that he would communicate with me when he did get a customer.
Uh-huh. So, okay, gotcha.
All right, so
Well, that's incredible. I mean, just the fact that you've got 9 new customers, that's so far. Maybe by this November you'll get another 9, maybe. It's going to be a continuing trend, especially if Dan's putting your flyer in with his, whenever he sends something to his customers, his invoices or whatever. So if you're looking at 15 to 18 new customers because of this relationship, that's 15 to 18 grand worth of revenue over a course of a year, a calendar year.
Could be, yeah. And as I said,
pretty awesome.
I can't say that I've really been working it aggressively. But knowing what I do now, I intend to work it a bit more aggressively, with the referrals on my end.
JU Banks, you should, right? I mean, if it's just this easy to get a customer here and a customer there over a course of the year, that all adds up. But I think it's JU Banks was talking to us last year during one of our meetings about his referral network. It's him and 2 other guys, and I think he said twice a year they'll get together. It was either twice a year or 3 times a year they'll get together and have lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he gets, on average, about 6 to 8 new customers a year through this little referral network that he has with these guys. And he's had the network going with them for several years. So, he may have $30,000+ a year worth of revenue he generates or more just because of this referral network that he has lunch with a couple times a year. How awesome is that? I mean, it's something that we've always kind of talked about in the background, but it's always great to hear new and encouraging results on something like this. So from what I understand, Dave, you did a pretty good amount of, I don't want to call it interviewing process, but a process of elimination with these guys. You didn't want to just jump on board with the first equipment repair guy you heard of or met
right.
or saw. You kind of did some asking around with the docs. Who do you like? Who do you use for your equipment repair? You got some validation from your customers. And then once you had enough validation, you had a chat with the guy in the parking lot, it sounds like, and that was probably your quote-unquote interview process.
Yeah.
And it went well, and now you got a real good guy you're working with.
Yeah.
Because I guess you don't want to be working with a guy who's either a bad equipment repair technician or kind of a rough around the edges jerk kind of a guy, because it's going to rub off poorly on you, right? When he's recommending
exactly.
you,
they're exactly.
going to put you guys in cahoots with each other, even though you're not. So that was a great idea for you to do that interview process. I hadn't heard of that before. I don't know why. I just thought in the back of my mind, the first guy you talk to is an equipment guy. Hey, let's get a referral network going. But you didn't go that route. You went a better route where you validated the guy first.
Yeah, I mean, I it's funny because I kind of think he tried to validate me as well, Because I walked up to him and said, hey, I've heard a lot about you. My name's Dave. I want to meet you, and let's talk.
Uh-huh.
And then he kind of looks at me and says, well, who told you about me? And I said, well, Joe Battaglia did. He says, oh, Joe, I've, done business for him for forever. He's a great guy, I mean, so that was part of the discussion, and I think it's what kind of opened him up to, working with me. Plus, the other part of it is, at least according to Dan, they find handpieces to be a pain in the butt. I mean, they just don't want to deal with them. He was dealing with someone who he would get the handpiece from the doctor, he would mail it off to the guy would fix it, mail it back to him, and I know that went sour a couple of times, and so from Dan's perspective, he's busy as can be with, working on the other stuff. He just doesn't want to be involved with the handpieces, but
uh-huh.
he wants to help out his customers. So, and I guess that kind of gets to the point I tried to make about the relationship. I don't try to get in the middle between him and the dentist in terms of getting a cut of whatever he does, and he doesn't do that with me.
Uh-huh.
All we're looking for is a foot in the door.
Yep. Well, that's That's perfect, because it sounds like it's working out very well for you and probably pretty well for him, too. So I love the fact that you validated him. You did a little interview process. Obviously, he was very happy with what you had to tell him.
Yep.
But, no, that's awesome. So
now, who knows? He may have gone back to some of these people. I mean, obviously, he saw me in an office where I was there picking up a handpiece, and he was fixing a chair. So he had that validation, but I was able to give him another one, actually two others as well.
So I guess the process, because this is a learning experience for those folks out there who either aren't that happy with someone they have a referral network with, or they just flat don't have one yet. So part one would be to simply ask your current customers who they use for their equipment repair, and are they happy with them, right?
Yeah.
Once you get that information and you've talked to, let's say, you know, half a dozen or a dozen docs, and you have kind of a trend going with a certain guy, now you put that on your radar to either contact the guy or hope to run into him.
Right.
Although in many cases, if you've got that kind of that positive validation, maybe the next step would be to get his information from one of your docs, who I'm sure would be happy to hand that out to you. And
yep.
Then somehow contact that person, have a quick meeting with them, see if it's you guys got along and see if there's some chemistry there, and then move forward with trying to work with that person.
Yeah, that would be the way to do it.
Okay.
I mean, in retrospect, I wish I would have contacted him earlier, knowing what I know now, but, you know, it's working out.
Awesome. Okay, well, let's open the floor. Hit *6, guys, if you have any questions for Dave. I know he did a pretty good job of explaining the exact process he went through and talking to the guys and how he does his billing with them, et cetera. But anybody?
Hey, Dave.
Dave,
this is Richard out of Tucson.
Hey,
Richard. Another thing to remember, too, if you're looking for these technicians out there, they got to be registered with the state if they're going to be working on x-rays, too. A lot of them are not registered with the state, and when they do work on x-rays, and they have to do calibrations and everything like that. So you got to be aware of that on that level.
That's good to know.
Yeah. Every state has to be, every technician that works in the dental industry or an independent, even the big ones, Henry Schein, Patterson, and all them, they have to be registered with the state to work on x-ray, certified to calibrate and sell equipment, too. So that's something to probably ask your technician, that whoever you're looking at, for that, too.
Now, do most of the technicians that are working on chairs and other things work on the x-rays, too? Is that a common thing?
Yeah, that's a given. Yeah, that's a given.
That's
even
a given.
Installation, even installations, too. It's a type of liability that the technicians need to know also when they install x-rays, even on the walls or even on center islands, that they just got to be liable for that too, certified, and they got to do the calibration procedures. And usually every year the state goes around to different offices and does their calibrations, and they got to look for the paperwork, the federal paperwork that has to be generated when stuff like that is installed, x-rays and fan assembly.
Okay, well, it's not really our job to police these guys, though, right? I mean...
No. But like you said, if you're looking for a technician to work with you, that's something maybe to ask them to say, hey, are you certified? Are you with the state to work on x-rays, too?
Okay, well, maybe that's an important question for the guys. If they've got real good response though and validation from these doctors, they probably got all that, right?
They should. Yeah.
Cool.
You know, that it brings up an interesting thought though for me. There's a company in my town that just works on X-ray equipment, and I should probably go visit with them and see if they would be interested in a referral network, you know, mutual referral relationship as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thanks, Richard. That's interesting to know. So I guess now that's a different maybe avenue to look at as far as adding to your referral network, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Contacting these X-ray guys and then just getting on board with them possibly?
Yeah.
Cool. All right, guys. Anyone else? Any questions for Richard or Dave?
Yeah, Torv, I have a question for Dave Reinhart.
Shoot.
Yes, you had spoken of how you did some research to validate the credentials and or reputation of the other service providers. Is there any evidence that they've done the same to you, or did you encourage them to check out your reputation? The point I'm trying to get to is to sell yourself to him so he can more enthusiastically recommend you to other doctors, if that question makes any sense.
Well, I guess initially, you know, again, I happened to meet this guy in an orthodontist's office, and, you know, we both had a great relationship with the same person in the office. So I'm sure after I left and he went back and worked on the chair, he probably validated me, you know. And then I had mentioned one of his customers to him. So it's possible that he went back to Joe Battaglia and said, hey, what about this guy? But, you know, then once this mutual referral thing gets started, you know, and I'm out there referring him to customers, and they're calling him up and saying, hey, my handpiece guy referred me to you, that in itself is a validation. So, yeah, there is evidence that there's, you know, that validation goes on in the other direction. And again, you know, just thought based on the pace of the referrals that are coming in, it seems to be something that's building. I don't know if I answered your question, Harvey.
Yeah, that was all right. Maybe I was thinking more in terms of how you sold yourself to the other guy. Convinced him that you are a top-notch service provider.
Well, you know, I'm standing there with my Dentist Choice shirt on, and I'm handing him, you know, brochures and cards and stuff. I tell him to check me out on my website as well as the Dentist Choice website. I mean, that's about as much as I had at the time. It wasn't a very long meeting in the parking lot. And in the case of the other guy, he actually brought some stuff to my house, you know. So.
Plus, you were working with the same dentist, or a few of the same dentists he's working with.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
so
that's where.
If he had any questions behind the scenes that he didn't even ask you, Dave, he may have just called up, you know, Cindy at Dr. Smith's office and said, hey, what do you think about Dave Reinhart, your handpiece repair guy? And they may have validated for you. You don't know, right?
I don't know that, yeah. But, you know, I did mention, you know, a couple of people. Actually, I didn't have to go very far past Dr. Battaglia because, you know, Dan's been in business 39 years. So, I mean, he said, I've been working with Joe ever since I got started in this business. I mean, you know, so I didn't have to say much more, you know.
Yep.
But yeah, I think that points to the importance of, you know, doing this over a period of time and, you know, just trying to gather your information so that, you know, when it does come time to meet with them, you can rattle off customers who you know use them for their service so that they can, in fact, follow up with a phone call to Cindy, as you said, at Dr. Smith to check you out.
Thank you very much.
Incidentally, the way I did that is in Outlook, for each customer, I keep track of who does their office equipment. So when I happened to run into Dan at that orthodontist's office, I just searched on his name and got a list of all the dentists right there on my phone so I refreshed my memory before I met with him. So, you know, just a point, sort of like on a day-to-day basis, if you do have one of these conversations and you do find out who does their office equipment, just, you know, tuck that information away in a place you can get at it when you need it. It'll pay off.
It did for you, Dave, so that was a good call, for sure. And although we talked a little bit about this subject a year ago or a little less on one of these meetings, I'm glad you brought this this up to me, Dave, because maybe it's something that guys didn't act on then, but maybe with a little bit more guidance from your call today, they'll act on it. Definitely going to push out an group-wide email to the folks that weren't able to attend the conference and have them listen to it. All right,
okay.
Guys, any more questions for Dave? Any more? Any more questions at all for anyone? All right, Dave. Well, hey, thank you very much again for your input, and thanks for Richard and Harv. And
hey, Dave, I've got a quick question.
Yeah, oh, here we go. Yeah?
Yeah, I'm just wondering what kind of people were servicing the equipment. Are these people who used to be at, let's say, Henry Schein, and now they're out in their own, or are they different kind of people?
I can take a shot at that. One of the people, Terry is his name. I haven't talked too much about him. Terry is a former Henry Schein service person who went out on his own. Dan, I'm less sure of. I just know he happens to have been in this industry for, as I said, his card says 39 years. So I'm not sure how he got his start.
Yeah, Dave, I can chime in on that, too. The majority of them are former dental equipment technicians, especially here in Tucson and Phoenix. There's a lot of them that left Henry Schein because of, to tell you the truth, they haven't had a pay raise in like 3 years. So a lot of them were unhappy on how the trend was going with Henry Schein. And then a couple of Benko people and Patterson people, but the majority of them are Henry Schein that went independent in the Phoenix area and maybe one or two here in the Tucson area. So they're well aware of the dental equipment repair, but a lot of them are unaware of about going business sense-wise. So they're just going out to their former doctors that they worked on equipment and just asking them, hey, if you'll stick with me, I'll give you a good service and everything like that. So that's how a lot of them start out doing independent like that.
Yeah, that makes sense that they get a start with a company that's going to train them and pay for their training and all of that.
Exactly.
Go out on their, right?
That's exactly what they're doing. A lot of them, and some of them, there's one here in Tucson that was a high-tech technician that worked on the computers and the Scanx systems and the digital x-rays, and he went out on his own. So they've been trained pretty well. And then they decide, you know, I haven't had a raise in 3 years. I'm going out on my own to try to do it. And so that's where they're going at.
And you would know.
It sounds very much like,
for sure, from being in that industry.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Dave, did you have something to add there?
Well, I was just going to reinforce that point. That's exactly the scenario of Terry Scott, the other guy that I'm working with. Exactly the scenario. He worked for Shine. He went out on his own, and he went around and visited with his, you know, his former customers and convinced them to go with him.
And Dave, you'll find a lot too that they'll go on their own, and then the product rep from that company, Henry Schein, Patterson, whoever, will find that out, and they'll kind of strong arm pressure the doctor to stick with them, and they'll say, okay, we'll give you a free, we'll give you a discounted service if you still stick with us, with another service technician and all that. So doctors are kind of being forced into staying with that company if they, and you know, and they'll start giving them discounts on products and everything like that. And I just recently, I just had a deal with a doctor here in Tucson that was moving his equipment, and of course Henry Schein gave him a quote on movement equipment, and he said, forget it, I'll stick with Richard, and I went ahead and moved all his five offs of equipment and everything like that, and of course, the Henry Schein rep called him and says, you know, I'm not going to do business with you if you're going to continue to use Richard. So, of course, the doctor says, well, bye-bye, see you later, I'm going to stick with Richard, and, you know, and of course, there's still Benko and Patterson out there, but that's what happened. That was one scenario that happened a couple of weeks ago with me, with a doctor.
Wow. They told him they want to do business with him because they're using
That's
you?
Right. Exactly. Yeah, he said, you know, he says, well, I'm not going to be coming around anymore. You know, start calling Benko or Patterson or something. And they'll do that. They'll do that. And a lot of times you'll think, well, either he wasn't doing a lot of business with him in the first place, and that doctor just bought a chair from them, a chair he didn't like, for his operatory. But I ended up moving the equipment and everything like that, and they still said, I'm not gonna be coming around. So, yeah, you'll get reps that are really adamant about that, but I have a feeling, you know, he'll come around again and start slowly coming her back to the doctor. I don't know who to, but the ties have been severed. It's done. The doctor says, "Well, I'm not going to buy nothing from Henry Schein no more." So
that's
what
happened.
Amazing
to me that they'll sabotage all their other sales just because of something like that, which is
exactly.
No wonder
exactly.
Why so many people have nothing good to say about Henry Schein. You know,
exactly.
Strong arm tactics like that, right?
Absolutely. So.
Wow. Well, thanks a lot for that info, Richard. Obviously, you have the inside track on that, so it was interesting to hear.
Okay, no problem.
All right, guys. Anyone else? Well, once again, I want to thank Richard and Dave and all the questions that folks had. Appreciate all the participation, as always, and look for that email coming out from me shortly. Have a great day, you guys. Bye.